Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depends where you are. Welcome to the Web Dev Show. I'm Doris Chan. I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft. Today, we're going to talk about CSS3 and its vendor prefixes. My name is Doris Chan. I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft. And if you want more information about me, you could actually contact me via Twitter at Doris T. Chan, or you could simply send your questions or feedback to my email, doris.chan@standardmicrosoft.com. And if you're interested to watch more episodes in web interoperability or on different things, you could actually look for me at channel9.msdn.com and then /Doris Chan. And you could also find the slide presentation, some other information through my blog, which is blog.msdn.com/Doris Chan. And then a lot of times I don't really remember the URLs. So what you could do is do a quick search, type my name, Doris Chan, space MSDN, and normally the top two links, one of them is my blog address. And again, I'm a web person. I have been a web developer for over 18 years. And as an evangelist, I also speak at a different conference, such as OSCON, Front, HTML5 Dev, and so on. So web interoperability, again, is a very interesting topic. And last episode, we actually talked about how to test cross-browser, how to figure out the interoperability problems by using all the testing tools. For this episode, we're going to focus on how to work with CSS, how to watch out the prefixes. And then in the later episodes, we're going to talk about if we should do browser detection, or should we do feature detection? How should we work with polyfills and fallbacks? Okay, CSS. Many of you probably have exposure to CSS, CSS3, right? So we talk about a CSS3 and the whole HTML5 movement. The HTML5, we talk about that, it does include all the new features for CSS3. And so if you used to do a lot of, say, just development using JavaScript, haven't really looked into CSS3, I think now is a good time for you to look into that, because you don't have to write everything by using JavaScript. You should take advantage of all the cool and updated CSS3 feature so you could make your content more interesting, more visually appearing. So if you haven't looked into CSS3, now is the time for you to look into. Like I said before, CSS3 is really part of the W3C standard. It's under the HTML5 umbrella. But then not all the proposals or the features will be approved right away, right? So there will be a group of people, and then there will be one particular CSS3 feature, for example, be proposed, and the whole group of people working on that and going through several stage until it finally approved. But that approval time normally could be quite long, right? Nobody knows how long it's going to take. However, in the same time, all the vendors, the browser vendors, want to take advantage of all the new feature. So they want to actually implement it their own way, right? So hence, we want to distinguish different implementation across different browsers. So there is a very big need for us to put something called the vendor prefixes there. So after a feature, before it's final, you could actually use the prefix with that feature. So you would know, this particular implementation belongs to, say, Microsoft, or belongs to Firefox, or belongs to some other browsers. So like we listed here, if it's a Microsoft implemented a feature, and when that particular CSS3 feature is not final yet, then we put prefix dash MS dash. Mozilla, we put a mouse. Opera, we put an O. And Safari and Chrome, we all put a WebKit. Right? So vendor prefix are really needed to support when the feature is not final yet. But it's also very, very useful to support an old browser. because those older browsers will not eventually support those standard CSS. So in order to use those CSS3 feature in the older browsers, you should actually put the prefix there so that people will know that particular prefix, that particular version is for that particular browser, and so on. So it's very useful. And the other thing worth to mentioning is sometimes browser vendors want to add some support for experimental properties, right? Some of the feature may not be final yet or may not be proposed yet, not ready to propose. But then they want to try to see if it runs fine in the browser. So even though it's not really part of a CSS specification, they may still want to use some prefix to say, I support that experimental property CSS3 feature. So let me do that. So again, you have the prefix for MS, for Mouse, for Opera, for WebKit. So all the prefix, basically there are four big type of prefix for all modern browsers. Now, so you're probably wondering, okay. So if that's the case, how should I work it out? Does the order matters? You know, what should I do, right? So in the CSS.file, what you should do is you should always put a prefix for all the four modern browsers with MS, Mouse, Opera, WebKit, and so on. And then you should always put a W3C standard feature towards the end. Towards the last, you should always put there. So for any of the CSS3 feature, when it's not final, still in the process of W3C, you should always have all the four prefix and include the final version of that particular property there. So this is an example. For example, transform is not final yet. However, we could see there's a lot of web development using transform as a CSS3 property, right? Hence, if you want to use transform, which is pretty commonly used, even though it's not final, you should have put all the prefix for Mozilla, MS for represents IE and Edge. For Mozilla, represents Firefox. For O, represents Opera. WebKit represents both Safari and Chrome. And then don't forget, the most important thing is you should always put transform towards the end, because this will be the final version, final feature when it's everything's approved, it's final, right? So you absolutely needed this very last line. And then for the rest of the prefix, you probably have a question. It's tedious. I always have to put all the prefix. Is there any way could help me out? We will get into that in just a minute. Okay, so first, the next thing we want to talk about is when to use all the CSS prefixes. What are the properties and the values they do need prefix, right? So these are the things currently still need all the CSS prefixes. For example, animation. You could use animation to do a lot of to work with a lot of content without using the JavaScript. Box sizing. Flexbox layout, which is very easy to use. It will make your CSS property very rich to use. At the same time, you could control the order of the visual component. You could do reverse order, forward order. You could change the size of that visual component. You could do a lot of really fancy things with Flexbox. You could also work with CSS regions, could work with transition. You don't have to write a JavaScript code. Yes, you could use transition in CSS to work out your particular visual components. You could do transform, which I will show you a demo how we could do that in X, Y, Z coordinate as well as in different angle. You could also play with the grid layout by using the property called a CSS grid layout. You could also use filters. You could calculate and so on. So by now, all these CSS prefix properties needs to put the correct prefix in front of them. Next will be, what are the properties CSS that I don't need to put a prefix? So things like border radius, Board radius is a very useful CSS feature because it will turn all the graphical components into rounded corner, right? So my designer friends always say, Doris, if your design is not a rounded corner, it's not a good design. So I guess you should always use or consider to use border radius for all your graphical design. And then box shadow, font face, which you could directly using all the fancy graphical font without using the true image. So font face is actually the one will give you to use the real fonts, even though it's a graphical, very fancy font, without really insert the image there. Opacity, text shadow, pointer events, the height for maximum minimum, all those CSS properties, you do not use prefixes anymore. Isn't that cool? You do not need to use prefixes anymore. So you could just directly grab, say, for example, border radius, put it into your CSS without worrying about putting all the four prefixes there. Okay, so before I get into some of the demo, let me actually show you some of the cool CSS3 features. Okay, so for example, what we're looking at is a demo. It belongs to IE Test Drive, and it's actually showing the capability of doing the 3D transforms. So this is very easy. Even though you're not a CSS guru, I think you could play with that. So I will leave horizontal, vertical, the origin the same. And then at the same time, I say I want to do a 3D transform with different parameters. And I will be able to first rotate by different angle, right? And you could actually see, you could change the angle, and you could see what it looked like, right? And to see the CSS is actually generated in this box. So if you see some look and feel for your particular graphical component, you like it, you could just copy and paste this piece of CSS into your code and then make your application looks really cool. And you could really do X-axis kind of transform. You could do a Y-axis, and you could do a Z-axis, right? And you could also do a perspective depth kind of axis. Isn't that cool? Look at it. Look at how smooth it could actually go to the different perspective and make something really fun, right? And this is, again, in Edge, and it runs on all the modern browsers, including Firefox, Chrome, and IE. That's a good and fun CSS demo, isn't it? And then, yes, forget to mention, if you want to see more CSS-related demo, you could always go to different the link here to look at the border radius, box shadow, text shadow, gradients, 2D, transition, animation, the flex box, position floats, and so on. There's a lot of cool demos waiting for you to explore. So if you want exactly where to find it, so all the demo you could look at, go to the Microsoft Edge site, and if you click on the demo, and when you look for the different like a category, you could actually say, I want to go for the CSS, and then you will be able to find out a hands-on 3D transform. This is a demo I just did. And then on top of that, you could actually find out all the rest of the pieces there, right? So it should be easy for you. Don't have to remember the URL. It should be very easy for you to remember how to get into there. Okay, so have some fun there. Let's actually go to our next topic, which is a lot of people have been asking me, right? They said, okay, I know it's important to write all the CSS3 and then also put all the prefix there. But is that any way could make my life a little easier without a worry about all the detail, right? So yes, you actually have some tools you could work with. You have actually some prefix tools. For example, auto prefixer. Right, auto prefixer is a very easy to use tool. It could parse all your CSS files and add all the appropriate vendor prefixes there. In other words, you only have to put what you think is the final CSS property there. Right, transform, just put a transform without worry about all the rest of the four prefixes there. Let it auto prefix a tool to generate all the prefixes for you. Isn't that cool? So it will actually, so you could actually do all your, you know, CSS and then putting property together, working on your design, and that all the auto prefixer tool to generate all the necessary prefix for you. And this particular tool is actually generated based on caniuse.com, that site. If you want to know more detail, go into there and take a look what's the detail. And again, auto prefixer is really what we call post processor. So meaning it runs after your SAS stylus. After it's been compiled. So it's really a post processor. It won't really interference with your SAS stylus, all those things. It won't interference with your compilation. It will do it afterwards. So in that sense, it's very useful because you don't have to worry about any side effect by using this tool, right? And if you want to see how to use that, there's an online tool. If you go to autoprefixer.github.io, if you click on that, it will actually guide you to that particular the tool so you could use. So let's actually take a quick look. So we could pick any browser. For example, we could pick a Chrome this time. So if you look at it, this is a really online tool. All you do is put in your CSS property here. For example, you put something like a transition, user select, and so on. So what you see here is it will actually generate all the necessary prefix. So this is something you would do, right? So you don't have to remember, worry about, or put a prefix there. And then the tool will actually, based on the need, it will generate all the prefix. For example, for transition, it generates WebKit because we're running in Chrome, so it needs to running the prefix for Chrome. So it put a WebKit transition. And then it also put a more prefix for the other browsers. For example, in addition to WebKit for the user select, we also put a mouse. There's also prefix for Microsoft, MS, and so on. Now, remember, you should always leave your true CSS property at the very last, and which it does here, right? So one thing you need to watch out is when you do all those prefix, make sure you want to use tools to generate all the end result for the prefix. You don't want to do things like, oh, okay, I think user select need to use a prefix. I use it for WebKit because it's Chrome. But hey, when you actually put all those WebKit, the tool doesn't know how to interpret that. It will just show up repeated WebKit as one of the property. It doesn't know how to generate the rest of the prefix for it, right? So if you do that, you basically screw up the tool, right? So you should actually always just leave the CSS property as a final version, and then the tool will generate all the necessary prefix for you. All right, so this is really a $1 million tip for you. Do not put any prefix if you want to use auto prefixer tool. Sounds good? All right, let's continue. So another tool you may want to consider to use is a tool called Prefix Free. Right, so auto prefix is not only two, even though people use it quite a lot. But then there's also people prefer to use prefix free. It's a very similar concept. Feel free to use that. It's also very useful to generate all the prefixes for you. Now, some people ask, they say, what if I don't want to just do an online kind of thing, right? Do the one version and let it to generate the other version and copy and paste. I don't want to do that. I wanted it to work with more better way, like work with Grunt. Yes, you could do that. So what is Grunt? For those people who may not know it, it's a node task runner that will allow you to perform tasks by using JavaScript code. So it's actually a pretty popular JavaScript runner for you to use that. So if you want to make auto prefixer to work with Grunt, what you could do is first install Grunt, right? And install the node module by doing things like npm install. So for any of the module, if you want to install node module, it's always npm install. And put the particular object of the module you want to install, in this case, is called grunt-auto-prefixer. And you want to do in a way like when you save it, it's every time we'll update a prefixer, right? So it's a save and dev. So afterwards, what you do is you configure that auto-prefixer object in the JavaScript file called a grunt file. So go to that file and configure your auto-prefixer object. And then there are several ways you could do. You could actually just very easily to try it in the command line by using grunt auto prefixer, and then you will see all the prefix will be automatically added onto the CSS properties. Now, this is a sort of like a, just a basic configuration and how you could run with AutoPrefixer with Grunt. And obviously, if you want to really, every time if you want to say save a file and you want AutoPrefixer running it automatically every time, then there's another way, which is sort of like writing a little bit of sort of code into that. And this is how you do. You actually do a regular thing, module exports, and this is, again, it's a function, it's a Grunt function. And in the init config configuration, you specify this is AutoPrefixer you want to work with, and you specify the options for the browsers, and for this is for multiple files, right? And you want to actually enable the expand, turn on the booting. Yes, I want to expand. It's true. Flatten is true. Turn on those bootings into true. And specify where the source code is, what type of files, like a CSS file you want to work with, and where you put want to put the destination. After you the AutoPrefix run, adding all the prefix into the CSS file, where you want to put it. And then obviously you want to load the NPM tasks called a Grunt AutoPrefixer. This is just like instead of running the command line, you could actually load it into your code. So that way you could actually embed it in your JavaScript code, and you don't have to worry about manually generating all the prefix by using AutoPrefixer to, you could use this piece of code to do that. Isn't that cool? I think it's very, very cool. All right, so this actually concludes the episode for today, which is CSS3 and prefix. Hopefully you learned some of the new features for CSS3. And also remember, always put your prefix there when that CSS3 feature is not final, because that will actually reduce a lot of problem for your web content running on different modern browsers, old browsers, right? So if you watch out of those CSS and prefix, you probably will reduce at least 10 to 20% of your interoperability issues for your web content. And also, remember, you could always use tools, right? You could use AutoPrefixer, you could use Prefixer-free, you could actually integrate it with your Grunt process. So there's a lot of ways to do that. It doesn't have to be doing manually. And then in the future episode, we're actually going to talk about more about if we should do browser detection, or should we do feature detection, how to work with the fallback, how to work with the party fields. So see you next time.